Okay, as I made mention of before, we'll continue our study today in Hebrews chapter 11. If you'll open your Bibles to that place, we'll continue with what we talked about last week. You see on the board up here, Hebrews chapter 11, one of our very familiar chapters in the Bible, sometimes called Faith's Hall of Fame, or as this PowerPoint slide up here calls it, the Hall of Faith. And it's a powerful study, and I'm looking forward to getting further into that today. From Hebrews chapter 11, what do we learn about faith? Well, we said there's two things, basically, in Hebrews 11. The first one is the definition of faith, and then example after example. Over and over and over, we read what two words? By faith, by faith, by faith. So we'll get further into that discussion today. Last week, we talked about the first part being the definition. And in verses 1 through 3, I emphasized three words for you. The first word we talked about was substance. Substance, the pillar of support, underlying support for the truth. Faith is all about substance. Okay. The second word is evidence. Now, the word evidence is defined as proof. Remember, we talked about like a proof in geometry. You just step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, just leading to a conclusion, proving it. That's what evidence means in the definition of faith. And then thirdly is the word understand that you find down in verse 3. Understand is a deeper level of learning than just knowledge. Knowledge is the basic entry level of learning. And then understanding, that's the comprehension level there. So three words associated with faith to help us as far as the definition: substance, evidence, proof, and understanding. Now with that, then we entered into this discussion about these heroes of faith that we talk about in the Old Testament. So we'll get into that here today. Now let's not lose sight of the fact of the gist of Hebrews. Remember, the letter is being written to those who are being encouraged to turn their back on Christianity and go back into Judaism. But here in this chapter 11 about faith, we have all of these heroes from Judaism, from the Old Testament. But it's not given in a sense of, here are the people you need to be following. It's given in a sense by all of these people that lived before you, lived by faith, and they set an example for you in which you ought to live. And that's really kind of getting us ready for chapter 12, because chapter 12 begins by saying, in front of all of these witnesses that's gone before you. So we'll get into that very soon. But last week we talked about the first one. And the first one, interestingly enough, is not Adam and Eve, but their younger son, Abel. So we said, by faith. And in verse 4 here, we introduced our first one. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. So if you're going to fill out your sheet as we go here, you've got two blanks there. You got Abel offered, and he worshiped. It says there that though he's dead, he still speaks. What do we learn from Abel? Well, we learn, first of all, from Abel and all of these other examples, by faith, he did something. See, faith, by faith, by faith, over and over and over, we find that followed by an action verb. So what is that action verb that we find with Abel? By faith, he offered. And so what do we learn about that? Well, we learn something about worshiping. We learn that there's a proper way to worship. We'll talk about that maybe if we get a chance to go back into it a little bit more. But I want to go on down to verse 5 here and begin picking up these others. Okay, in verse 5, we read, by faith, Enoch, so here's our next person, Enoch, was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's turn back here, hold your place, and let's turn back in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Very, very little is said about Enoch. I want to go back to where we find the bulk of it, and there's a couple of things of note that we'll mention about Enoch. Enoch, first of all, was the father of Methuselah. Now, Methuselah, what do we know him to be? He was the oldest recorded man. 969 years. We've talked about Methuselah, that Methuselah died the year of the flood. He may have died in the flood. I don't know. But that's a discussion for another day. We'll talk about Enoch. Look at verse 22. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. And then go down to verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, some of the translations, I believe the Old King James renders this as Enoch was translated. Was Enoch the only person in the Old Testament that was translated? Translated being taken to heaven without dying. Elijah. We have two examples of that. Elijah was the other example, and you can find that over in 2 Kings 2 and verse 17. He was not. Imagine that, if you will. Imagine being being friends with Enoch, and all of a sudden he's gone. That's a missing persons report that was never solved. He was just gone.
He'd just be a really, really old person then, but he never died.
That's right. Never died, huh? Will there ever be people translated again? Watch it now. It says when the Lord returns, those who are alive will be translated. Will be taken to heaven with him. So that phenomenon will occur again one day. But anyway, what do we know about Enoch? When he's included in this Faith Hall of Fame, it says, by faith, Enoch. Well, we went back over and we noted that Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Walked with God. What does that mean? What does it mean to walk with God? Well, Hebrews says he pleased God. Could we say that he walked in the light? Like 1 John 1:7 says? Yeah. Could we say he walked by faith? Yeah. I think all of those are synonymous here when it says he walked with God. He was pleasing to God. So, so what do we know about Enoch? Enoch pleased God and he walked with God. Now, as you go through and fill these out, when you finish, you're going to go back and see all of these action verbs. That was the whole intent for doing that. Now, as we end verse 5, it says that he pleased God. Now, we've got to take a little interlude here with verse 6. We've got to take a little time out before we introduce our next hero of faith. What do we see in verse 6? This is one of the more familiar verses that we have in the Bible. Without faith, finish it. It's impossible to what? To please him. See, we just ended verse 5 saying with Enoch, he pleased God. So now, verse 6, what are we talking about? We're talking about faith. And so verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And then we have two things that's introduced. For he who comes to God must, number one, believe that he is. There's two things here if you want to note them in your text and underline them and note them. Number one, believe that he is. And number two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So two things, two components of faith, if you will. That's what we're talking about in chapter 11, faith. What is faith? Verse 6 says, without it is impossible to please God. And then it expounds on that a little bit. It says, for he who comes to God must, number one, believe that he is. Faith means I believe that God exists. I know he exists. I look around at the creation. I read his word. I see the prophecies fulfilled. I build my faith on that substance and evidence up there. I know that he is. But that's not all. That's not all. Verse 6 also includes a second thing. And that he is present tense, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, some of the newer translations, and those of you that use an ESV can substantiate this a little bit, I think, for me, doesn't use the word diligently. It says for those who seek him. The word there, I think, that as we look at it in other contexts, the idea of diligently, though, is certainly part of it. It carries with the idea of strenuous effort. Diligently searching and investigating. So as we read here, I got to believe that God is, and then secondly, that he rewards those who diligently seek after him. All right, so now let's leave that and go back and pick up our next hero of faith, verse 7. By faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. There are three words in verse 7 that I'd like for you to circle, underline, note, put it in your notes if you will. It's the word warned, number one, the word fear, number two, and the word prepared, number three. Now, the verse reads in the New King James like this, and if you've got another translation there, there could be a little difference in that wording. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So here are the three words that I want to zero in on here. Noah, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned. That's an interesting way of saying, not just warned, but he was warned of God, being divinely warned. He moved with fear, and he prepared an ark. So let's talk about these three words just a little bit. I want to carry you back, if you will, to something we talked about several weeks ago, maybe more than one time in this class, and that is three components of the heart. Remember us having that conversation one time? The three components of the heart is our intellect and our emotions and our will. Now let me give it to you in three other words. What we know, feel, and do. Let me remind you of this. The first one, the intellect. See, there's three different components of the or facets of our heart. The first one here is the intellect, the cognitive knowledge, what we know. That's one. The second part is the affective, the emotion, what we feel. This is kind of our attitude. And thirdly here, we have the will. That's the psychomotor. More than what we know, more than what we feel, but what we do. Don't you remember that I said that I had been told years ago that if I do a good job teaching a Bible class, then you ought to leave here with your head, hands, head, heart, and hands idea. Head, what we know. Heart, what we feel. Hands, what we do. So I ought to be encouraging you in all three of those areas, knowing more of God's will, and it changing the way we feel, and it affecting what we do. So it's these three ideas here of what we know, what we feel, and what we do. Now, why have I reviewed that? Well, you probably already see the parallel. What do we have with Noah here that we had listed, those three words? Warned, fear, prepared. Those are the three, they fit right in with those three ideas. Let's talk about it a little bit more here. And I want you to also notice the progression. First of all, Noah was what? Divinely what?
Warned.
Now that's interesting because when it says he was divinely warned, divinely, that he was warned by whom?
God.
God told him what was about to happen, told him what to do to save him and his household. Don't you remember when we talked about Abel last week, we kind of made an assumption. We assumed that Abel's sacrifice was acceptable. Here's where what we assumed. We assumed that God had told Abel and Cain what to sacrifice. We kind of made that assumption. We don't have to make an assumption with Noah, because the text tells us right off the bat, by faith, Noah being divinely warned. Now, several times throughout our study here in chapter 11, I'm going to refer to Romans 10:17. What does it say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God warned Noah, and that was a part of building his faith. That was God's word was the foundation, see, of Noah's faith. God told Noah what was about to happen. Knowledge. All right? Now, that led Noah, when God told Noah that, it impacted Noah's emotions. What do we read next? Being divinely warned of God, of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. Now, sometimes we talk about fear being afraid. Sometimes we talk about fear being what? Respectful. It doesn't matter. Both of them are attitudes.